Welcome to another episode of How to Business, a podcast by the Small Business Development Center in Chattanooga, Tennessee. In this episode, Sarah from our SBDC team is joined by Lauren Bass, owner of LB's Chili Bar. They discuss how Lauren took advantage of community resources and built a network that helped her pivot and grow her business.
Hey everyone, this is Sarah. I'm so happy to have Lauren with me from LB's Chili Bar. Lauren, go ahead and tell us a little bit about your background and how you got your business started, and tell us what your business is.
I began LB's Chili Bar in 2019 officially, but I started making my sweet and spicy chili when I was a student in graduate school back in, I think, 2012 at Valdosta State University. So my apartment complex was having a chili competition and I wanted to enter, but I had never made chili before. So I did a survey among my coworkers and just some friends of what type of chili they like, went in the kitchen, whipped a few things up, and I was actually able to win that particular chili competition. So for a few years, I just made chili during the winter because I felt like that's chili season.
Right, absolutely.
And then my friends got annoyed because every time they wanted some chili, I would say, no, it's not cold right now. And they really pushed me to start a business so that they could get chili when they wanted it because they were willing to pay for it. So in 2019, I went ahead and officially started my business, and I only sold a sweet and spicy chili. My first flavor was beef, and then one of my friends started different dietary restrictions. So I started making a ground turkey chili, and then I started making a vegetarian chili for a different friend.
Okay.
And then when the pandemic hit, I was able to transition to making sauces with some advice from Mike at Proof Incubator, one of my fraternity brothers, and then my aunt. She dates a guy in upstate New York who has a sauce company called Boss Sauce.
Okay.
So with different perspectives, I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to start making sauces to stay in business.
And I want to dive more into that as we kind of go through your journey. This episode is about seeking out and getting technical assistance. In Chattanooga, we're blessed to have a lot of different service providers, people who are willing to help the entrepreneur community. We all try to work together really well. I think most communities kind of have that ecosystem, is a phrase a lot of people use. And so I kind of want to talk through, I know you've taken a lot of advantage of the different resources in a great way, and I think it's worked out really well for you. So tell me, at what point did you decide, I need help, or I want to reach out, or I want advice or mentorship? What was your thinking, and where did you start?
So I started by doing research on like single restaurants that have like a main product. And that's when I found about Ben's Chili Bowl in Washington, D.C. So learning that there is a restaurant concept that focuses on one thing, I was able to use the Small Business Development Center in Valdosta when I first started my business. So then when I moved to Chattanooga, I knew that that was a main resource that I could get assistance with. And the Small Business Development Center here will be able to kind of help me pick up where I was already getting assistance. So I brought all of the, you know, the outline for the business plan and things that I had previously received help on and came here. And then from here, I was able to get assistance where I learned about CoLab. I attended some local entrepreneurial events, and I learned about Kiva, and I think it was called Bright Bridge.
Okay.
I learned about Bright Bridge at that local event. And just the more questions I asked, the more I was able to like meet more people. So yes. I was able to meet Danielle, the owner of Locals Only, and she gave me some advice. And it's just been like one contact after another contact after another contact that's helped me get to where I am now.
Yeah, that's awesome. I say this a lot about Chattanooga because we're a mid-sized city. But I like to say once you're in the business community, you'll know everyone within like 6 months. But it really takes putting yourself out there, following up on contacts. I remember the first time that we met together at the SBDC in Chattanooga, you did already have like all your stuff together. You had your life plan vision. You had obviously put a lot of work into it already. We had met a few times in the early stages of your business. Tell me what you did after that. So did you then go to CoLab?
So my first focus was just a chili business.
Right.
And I thought I wanted to do a brick and mortar. So I had a lot of help on how to do a brick and mortar. Then I started to realize that the Chattanooga area is food truck friendly. And so I was like, okay, instead of having overhead costs for a building, maybe I can start looking towards starting off with a food truck. And I was able to get into the Co-Starters program. And that's the idea that I had when I was in Co-Starters, a food truck.
Okay.
And what would it take to get that part of my business going?
Okay, let's talk about Co-Starters real quick. So in Chattanooga, Co-Starters is what, a 9-week, 10-week accelerator program to help early stage businesses kind of hash out their idea. It's offered, I believe currently at this time, it's offered through CoLab or mm-hmm. the Company Lab, they're also called. And Launch Chattanooga also offers the Co-Stars program. So it's basically like a curriculum.
Yes.
Tell me about what you learned in that program and tell the listeners kind of what that program is like, how it's structured, what you do week by week.
So we have this huge binder that has a lot of resources. One of the main things that I really enjoyed was a part that taught me how to describe my target audience. Because the type of chili that I make, I feel like a certain particular group of people, you know, foodies and, you know, someone who's an adventure seeker would like to try my chili.
Yeah.
And so using that curriculum, it helped me understand the costs that I needed to be prepared for, how to do financial projections. But another amazing aspect of the program was meeting new entrepreneurs like myself. And a great connection that I was able to get from Co-Starters was meeting the owners of Be Caffeinated.
Oh, yeah.
And from there, now we have a working relationship as well. So not only was the curriculum great with helping me understand how to reach my target audience and identify my target audience and build the foundation of what my food truck would be, but it also allowed me to meet other new entrepreneurs in the area. And that was very, very valuable for me. Oh,
I love that you mentioned that because a lot of times we have a lot of people moving in to this area. So a lot of my clients are new to Chattanooga. I love for them to go to the Co-Starters. And a lot of times I tell them just so that you can begin building your network and start meeting people, start meeting the other organizations that are out there. So tell me, after Co-Starters, kind of what were your next steps after that?
My initial idea was at the beginning of 2020, I did a pop-up chili event at the Edney on the fifth floor. And so the tenants of the building were able to come up and buy chili by the bowl, and it was a successful event. And I was like, okay, it's time for me to try to plan more opportunities for more people to try my chili so that by the springtime, that's when I was going to try to invest into the food truck and get more out in the public. As I was doing all of the preparation for trying to plan more events, that's when the pandemic happened in March. And so any previous like connections that I had with trying to schedule things, I had to cancel all of those. And that's when I met Mike at Proof, and I gave him some chili. And he was like, your chili is good, but the sauce is great. And I was like, but I only have one product. I only have chili. And when he made that comment, it made me think back to my aunt's boyfriend, who he actually wanted to buy the sauce from me back in 2013.
Oh.
And I still was like, I don't have a sauce. I have chili. What are you talking about? And so making those connections,
yeah.
Then I was like, okay. So Mike kind of described how I could make sauce from what I already had.
And tell us who Mike is and how you met Mike.
So Mike is one of the co-owners at Proof Incubator.
Mike Robinson.
Yes, Mike Robinson. And I want to say it may have been, I think you actually told me about Proof Incubator.
That's why I was, telling the team. I was like, I can't remember if I made the introduction or maybe you met him through Co-Starters. I couldn't remember.
No, I believe you told me about Proof Incubator because I was going to need to
leave. And they were brand new at the time.
Yes.
They were just getting launched. And yeah. I was like, well, this might be a good fit.
And so from having conversations with him, my business is too early in the stage for being able to be housed in Proof Incubator, but I knew I was going to need a commercial space to be able to use.
Mm-hmm.
And so with him giving me the advice of how to make the sauce, I made it. It tastes the way how the chili tastes, but was still going to be versatile. And from there, I believe he talked to me about Danielle at Locals Only. And
yeah.
I believe you also mentioned Danielle as well.
Yeah.
So I took my sauce to her, and she was able to try it. And she gave me a lot of tips about presentation because my initial label was just this white paper with a sticker label that had like LB's Chili Bar. And so she kind of showed me different things in her store that had like really great presentation and taught me how to make sure like my label could sell itself. And then, you know, once I had that look going, I started doing some more connections and I met Pat Rowe at the Kitchen Incubator. And so he was able to give me some insights to working over there and what it would be like. And I just kind of prepared myself on like, what would that journey be now that I had to make a pivot from going from making just chili to now I'm making a sauce.
From being a restaurateur to being a wholesaler, a food manufacturer.
Yes.
Totally different pivot.
Totally different.
So Kitchen Incubator isn't that old either. This is a product of Launch Chattanooga. They were able to purchase this amazing commercial kitchen space that had previously been a culinary college, and they have transformed it into an incubator where they have commissary space, food trucks, and caterers can lease space to produce their product. So are you a tenant at the Kitchen Incubator?
Yes.
Okay. Tell us more about that.
I'm a tenant and it's been a great experience. It's definitely a pivot because when I do chili events, that's more on the health department side and catering type events. But then with making my sauce, because that's wholesale, that's more learning about the Department of Agriculture and those steps. So the Kitchen Incubator has been helpful with not just helping me learn how to produce my sauce, but the required paperwork on how to get things done and who to contact and trying to schedule appointments and things. So it's been really great. It's definitely a challenge because going from pots and pans that I'm used to at home to like commercial industrial size things.
Yeah.
It's a challenge, but it's a welcome challenge because it shows me like I'm really elevating and growing and pushing to do more for my business.
You can really scale a lot more.
Yes.
With this bottled product than you can with a restaurant. And especially if you're the one doing a lot of the cooking. So it's the type of labor you're doing has shifted too.
Yes.
So you're not a cook anymore. Now you're bottling and packaging and a branding expert probably at this point.
Yeah.
So the Kitchen Incubator, they provide space, but they also kind of hold your hand. They're also for early stage food. What's the word I'm looking for? Just food-based businesses, mm-hmm. I guess, restaurants and packaging. So that's the part that's so intimidating, I think, for a lot of people doing packaged goods is knowing all the regulations and legalities behind it.
And that was the scary part for me. So I was hesitant about reaching out because I thought I had to have all my stuff together to get into there. But I didn't have to already know. They helped me with the process. And they're still helping me with the process. So I also like that it's not like a rush thing. I'm not forced to, you know, be ready by such and such a date. And now that I'm in the Consumer Goods Accelerator program, I'm getting more information from people like Lolo Bars and just other entrepreneurs who are also helping me prepare for my different inspections and just...
Yeah, people who have already have recently gone through the
process.
Okay, so let's talk about now you are in... the middle of the Consumer Goods Accelerator program that's also through CoLab.
CoLab and Proof.
And Proof Incubator are co-hosting it, so it's like old friends for you. So let me back up a little bit and just tell the listeners some of the services, who CoLab is and the services they offer here in Chattanooga. They are a nonprofit. They do a lot of accelerator programs. They do the Co-Starter program, which is really just for early stage, working through any business idea. But then they also do some kind of concentrated accelerator programs throughout the year. So right now they're doing one that's specifically based on consumer goods, so like packaged food products, agriculture products, those sorts of things. A few years ago, they did one that was based on like health technology accelerator. So sometimes they just do different specialized accelerators, really serving the whole state and the region. They also do, and we can talk about this a little bit too, although I do want to finish talking about the Consumer Goods Accelerator too, but they have office hours where they have specialists from around the community, attorneys, CPAs, software engineers, branding experts, and you can schedule a time to meet with those people for 30 minutes and get no-cost consultation, mm-hmm. which is one of my favorite resources in all of Chattanooga. I refer my clients to that resource all the time. Great resource. I know a lot of the providers that are on that list, and they're top-notch in their expertise in their fields. So that's some of the programs they offer. They also, and we'll talk about this in a minute, but they also offer and help facilitate getting businesses funding that they need. One in particular that they are in partnership with is the Kiva program. Yes. So we'll talk about that a little bit more in a little bit. So let's, now that I kind of gave some backstory on CoLab, tell me about the consumer goods. I'm curious how it's different from the CoStarter program. Is it more advanced?
Yes. So the Consumer Goods Accelerator is more advanced because we are companies that already have products and we're looking to learn how to launch and scale our business. So with CoStarters, it was, you could have had an idea and you're looking to launch that and see how to build that into a business. But with the Accelerator program, all of us are already in business.
Yeah.
But we're looking to see, like, how can we scale this? How can we make it more than just this one product? It's a really amazing program. Again, I'm meeting more awesome people who have different skill sets and expertise. And many of us, even though we are consumer goods, you know, we have someone who has a specialty type of nut. There's someone who has chai tea. It's just so many different people. And because we have the similar background as far as industry-wise, but different experiences, it's helpful to be able to like bounce ideas off of each other, talk about our wins, talk about our the things that we're struggling with. And it's really awesome to have a network of people that, you know, I'm not the only one dealing with this problem.
Absolutely. It's tremendous.
Yes.
Because there's so much to know out there. There's so much you don't know that you don't know. So having people who have already paved the way and be like, let me tell you how this inspection is going to go. that sort of thing. That's the scary things. The scariest things about starting a business, I think. You said you did participate in the Kiva program?
No, not yet.
Okay,
so I've learned about it, and I was going to use Kiva for my food truck.
Yeah.
And so now that I had to deviate from the food truck idea right now, I haven't decided how I would need to use that resource. I'm slow and steady right now, so most of the time, if I'm not making sales on my website, I am at the Brainerd Farmers Market on Saturdays. So I have a lot of opportunities to get face-to-face contact with customers, get a lot of feedback from customers. And it's on a smaller scale because although Chattanooga has a number of farmers markets, some of them can be very intimidating to a team of one.
And expensive.
Yeah. And so with me being a team of one, unless like there are Saturdays where I can bring some friends up to help me, the Brainerd Farmers Market has been great for me being able to get direct feedback from customers.
Yeah, that's great. So Kiva is a global platform, and it uses crowdsourcing to raise funds. So basically, you fill out a pretty simple application, from my understanding, compared to a full-scale business loan. Fill out a simple application. If you're approved, you can get up to $15,000. But then basically you have to do a big social media push to get friends and family or strangers around the world to donate to your cause. Mm-hmm. And then the Kiva kind of collects the money and tells you what your payment's going to be. And then they take that payment and they pay back your investors over time. And it doesn't, the investors don't earn interest, you don't pay interest. So it's a really great way. I think it's a great way to promote your business.
Yes.
So it really creates this like campaign, but also you're on their platform, which is a global platform. So I've had a lot of clients who just have had strangers from around the world donate to their cause. A lot of people just kind of scroll through the website and are looking to invest in small businesses, but also here in Chattanooga, especially, I know the community's always trying to support whoever's doing a current Kiva campaign. So that's another great option that CoLab, that you can connect with CoLab and they can kind of guide you through that process. What are your next steps for LB's Chili Bar?
My hope is once I am done with the Accelerator program and I have a really solid foundation of like how to scale, I would like to get on the shelves at Whole Foods and Trader Joe's.
Awesome.
So they're going to help us make connections with wholesalers and distributors and truly learn what it would be like on a larger scale. Like, how would I prepare if the Southeast region of Whole Foods wanted to carry my sauces?
Yeah.
So it's a great learning opportunity right now so that I can set up a foundation and shoot my shot in 2022.
Yes, I love it. I know the year 2022 is going to be the year for us all, I hope. But you've done a tremendous amount through a pandemic, so it's kind of given you a good time to sit back and rethink your business and work through some of the kinks. So I'm so excited for you. I do want to touch on a few other. This episode is about toolkits for technical assistance. So we're kind of talking about all the technical assistance providers. I brought you in, Lauren, because you're an awesome example of someone who has taken full advantage of a lot of the programs we have here. There are a few other I want to mention. This isn't going to include everyone. We just kind of want to touch on some of the main ones that are out there that offer especially no-cost services. But SCORE is another organization. They're a little bit similar to SBDCs. I don't know if you've ever utilized them.
When I lived in Atlanta.
Okay. So they have offices all over the country as well. And they, instead of having professional staff like the SBDCs do, instead they kind of use an army of volunteers. So a lot of these people are retired or seasoned in their industries and fields. So, for example, you could connect with someone who has experience doing food manufacturing. Mm-hmm. And that person would mentor you. And they also offer some technical assistance, like helping you. My understanding is they can help you fill out nonprofit paperwork and that sort of thing.
Yes.
So SCORE is a great option. I also love SCORE's website.
They have a lot of webinars.
Yeah.
I attend a variety of their webinars.
So do I. I love their webinars, and they just have tons of articles and worksheets and things like that on their website. I use a lot of that in my counseling. They have just tremendous resources, a lot of just proprietary things that they've created, which is a great resource. Another one here in Chattanooga is Urban League. I don't know if you've done anything with them, but I'm still learning more about the organization myself, but they do a lot of concerted efforts to specifically help African-American small business owners get funding. I believe right now they might have a partnership with Pathway Lending. They also, something we have been involved with as of recently, is they have a Next Level program. Have you heard of this?
I haven't. I believe when I learned about Kiva and the Bright Bridge, it was the Urban League hosting an event that I went to.
Oh, okay.
So I haven't been in any of their programs yet, but I did attend that
event. I think I was at that event too.
Yes.
So the Next Level program is also an accelerator program for existing businesses, and they call it Streetwise MBA is the name of the curriculum, I believe. I hope I'm getting this all right. A months-long accelerator program where you meet with a group of cohorts and you learn how to read financial documents, marketing, and it's really about leveling up, taking your business to the next level, if you will. I had the opportunity last year to sit in and hear the presentations from their graduating class, and I was absolutely blown away. Very impressive businesses, and the growth plans that they had developed in the program were tremendous and viable and doable, and they have some really awesome facilitators of that. So that's a really great program. Again, that's offered through Urban League. I just want to take this time to remind our listeners a little bit about the services that we do offer at the SBDC, just to kind of help clarify. So SBDC is a national network. We have 1,000 centers all over the country. Nationwide in 2020, we served over 510,000 clients, which is crazy. And our center alone served 1,200 clients in 2020. And when I say serving, primarily our main service we offer is no-cost business counseling. That can be, sometimes we meet with clients once a month, once a quarter, just to check in. We help them with loan packaging, putting together their business plan. A lot of times it's just working through an idea or giving feedback. Really any business topic that you can imagine. We are grant funded through a few different sources. And we also offer classes. And I know, Lauren, you said you had gone to a few of our classes.
Yes.
Now, right now at this time, they're mostly on demand or virtual. But in the past, we, and in the future, we hope to do more in-person classes. We do an orientation, we do business plan writing, funding classes, we bring in experts from the community, people who are really knowledgeable in their field, so social media, merchant account services, a range of topics. We offer several different classes a week almost, so we have a tremendous number of classes and trainings to help business owners kind of learn what they don't know already.
Also able to connect me with a local entrepreneur who taught me about wholesaling. So before I had my meeting with Danielle, she was able to give me advice on like how much I would need to price my items in order so the store could make a profit, but I also make a profit. Yeah. So that was a very amazing connection because I had no idea about anything with wholesale. And it's so easy to research things and stuff like overlap where you're not quite sure what applies to you or what doesn't apply to you. So to verbally have an opportunity to meet somebody, sit and talk and get their insights for something that they're already doing, that was very helpful.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned Danielle. She's the owner of Locals Only. They sell wholesale, or they purchase wholesale from local and regional makers and artists and resell it in a shop here in Chattanooga and online. And I've actually had several clients who have said she's been a tremendous resource. And it really speaks to how our entrepreneurship community here, and I would venture to guess most places, everyone wants to help each other. I think people are like proud when they have figured something out and they're happy to help.
Yes.
And reach out. Has that been your experience?
It has.
In general?
My frat brother suggested that I reach out to Elders Ace Hardware because they like to support locally made products.
They do.
And I was able to get in the Dallas Bay Hickson store as well as the East Brainerd store. I was able to make a connection with Avengers Logistics to do a pop-up event because I have friends who own the food truck Food Vibes, and they told me, you know, contact them. So it's not like a competitive thing where people are just trying to keep their resources to themselves. There's so many people who are willing to share information and advice and insights. And even at the Brainerd Farmers Market, when other entrepreneurs come up to me and ask me about my packaging or where do I get my labels made, things of that nature, I'm so willing to share because so many people have been able to help me on my journey as well.
I love that. I love that. My dad has always said, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Correct.
And in Chattanooga, I think it makes it very easy to do. If you just get out and start engaging in a few of these events, start plugging into some of these programs and organizations that are here to help you. And don't just pick one. Take advantage of all of them. It's not competitive. There's not one that's going to be the perfect right fit for you. You can gain something from taking advantage of all of them. And I think statistically, entrepreneurs who take advantage of the most resources have better success. But really, it's about making those connections. And it really does seem like it snowballs.
It does.
Once you start making it, it just builds and builds and builds, and your network grows, and people want to see you win, and they want to see you do well.
That's been my experience.
Awesome.
So it's been amazing being an entrepreneur here in Chattanooga. I've lived in a number of cities because I relocate for my full-time job occasionally. And this has been like a really solid foundation for me to say, like, I am a small business owner. I stopped saying it's my side hustle because all of the resources that I've been able to get, I'm officially really a business and it's growing.
Yeah, I could tell that. I've been following you on social media this last year or two, and I could tell like you've really, your business has truly grown up, and I'm very excited in the cold months. I'm going to pull that sauce out, and I can't wait to make some chili. And I hope to find you in Whole Foods and Trader Joe's.
That's the plan.
Very soon. I love it. So everyone, take advantage of the resources that are out there. They're tremendous. Start with one organization. We're all very collaborative. So feel free to reach out to any of these organizations or programs, or reach out to us here at the SBDC.
Thanks for listening to How to Business, a podcast by the Small Business Development Center in Chattanooga, Tennessee. If you liked this episode, please share it with a friend and be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you next week here on How to Business.